about cardiac care. And it's not the kind of cardiac care that will keep you out of the ICU, but maybe. It's based on a scene from the play where Mr. Z, who is the detective investigating the death of Mr. Z, goes to Pharaoh to see if he's the one who has done him in. Pharaoh believed that he could grow his kingdom on the backs of the Israelites, keeping them as slaves instead of paying them as workers and giving them a choice about whether they wanted to work for him or not. But as we know, in the end, Pharaoh lost everything he had, his slaves and his chariots, because of his sin. His heart was hardened because of sin, and sin was the business of Mr. Z. Sometimes we hear throughout these stories that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And sometimes God was the one who hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart after God killed the frogs that had taken over Pharaoh's houses and courtyards and fields. Though I think the smell of decomposing frogs throughout the land would probably make all of us a little upset. But when God plagued Pharaoh with gnats, his heart was hardened again, just like God had said would happen. Back in chapter 4 of Exodus, God had told Moses, when he was sending him to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, that God would be the one to harden Pharaoh's heart. But why would God do that? Why wouldn't God just free the Israelites on the first try instead of sending 10 pesky plagues? Well, some Bible scholars say it's so God could show his power through this exchange with Pharaoh and the plagues. God knew that the Israelites would be freed, but we certainly saw God's power through all these actions that seem almost magical to us. In fact, we hear of magicians trying to recreate the plagues. Another reason God may have hardened Pharaoh's heart was just by knowing what would set Pharaoh off. After all, his heart wasn't hardened until God sent Moses, who simply went to Pharaoh and said, "The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to you to say, let my people go." Being approached by a lowly, powerless prophet who made demands of him, the high and mighty, all-powerful king, made him mad and hardened his heart. And who was the God of the Hebrews anyway? Pharaoh had no knowledge or regard for God. Pharaoh's heart was hardened by his own pride because God sent this nobody to make demands of him. But no one, not even the mightiest ruler in the world, could escape God's ultimate will, which was to free God's people. God's heart was set on freeing his people, and so God did just that in the end, even though how God got there doesn't always make the most sense to us. You may have noticed that the culture we live in places a high value on logic. Things need to be provable, well thought out, organized. We're often discouraged from sharing our feelings. Being too emotional is a way that people are discounted. If someone shows their emotions, people just ignore them or write them off. We're told we need to leave emotion out of things. But that's not how God sees things. God doesn't just work logically. Our hearts are important to God. They're a key part of our faith. When God sent Samuel to anoint a king for Israel, it says this in the book of 1 Samuel. When they came, Samuel looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And God anointed David, who had a good heart, instead of his taller or better-looking brothers. Well, David had his share of mess-ups, Bathsheba, But his heart was always with God. So God continued to favor him, even in those horrible screw-ups. In Joel chapter 2, which is one of our Ash Wednesday texts, it says, "Tear your heart and not your clothes. Return to the Lord your God. He is merciful and compassionate, patient, and always ready to forgive and change his plans about disaster." When we give our hearts to God, it changes God. God offers us forgiveness and peace and mercy. Psalm 51, which is the basis for the opening hymn we sang today, says, "Create in me a pure, clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." We know that our hearts are an important part of our connection to God, so we pray that God would care for our hearts and make them clean and pure. And I love this verse from Proverbs chapter 4. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." So that makes me think, how does your heart feel these days? Does it feel full? Does it feel pain? Does it feel heavy or light, hard or soft? Take a moment to just think about how your heart feels. I always find that when I take a moment to just sit and think about what's going on inside of me, I find there's a lot going on. But however your heart feels today, know that your heart matters to God. Jesus reminded us of that many times. The gospel reading today is that familiar story that's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Luke's gospel, each with a little bit of variation. Jesus is asked, what's the most important commandment? And he lifts up love. First, love of God, then neighbor, then self. We are to love God first. And the first way we're to show our love for God is with our hearts. Our soul, mind, and strength all follow behind our heart, which leads us in our love for God. So I have a confession. Some of you may already know that I watch The Bachelor. So you can judge me, but I'll just remind you that you shouldn't judge other people based on their reality TV watching habits. I'm pretty sure that's in the Bible. But there's a lot of talk on The Bachelor about hearts. I mean, it's pretty much the same show every time. We all know that. And so there's that, you know, can I trust him with my heart? Or, you have my heart, or he's stolen my heart, if we want to be dramatic. And then there's the other side of things. I don't want to get my heart broken. Or, my heart's been broken before, so I've got walls around my heart. Or maybe we could say, she's got a hard heart. We're often wary with our hearts. After they're hurt by others, whether it's a romantic love interest or a friend or a family member, we tend to put those walls up and harden our hearts. The same is true with other experiences, I think. If we get burned by something or we watch the world refuse to change or repent from its sinful ways, we can just throw our hands up or fold our arms across our chest and give up. We turn our hearts away from the pain because it's hard to keep experiencing that. But God is somebody we can trust with our hearts. Over and over, the Bible tells us that. And I'll share a couple verses with you now. From Deuteronomy chapter 7, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." God offers us his love, never-ending, undying love, as we see on the cross. from John 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I love this part of John where Jesus shares these words with his disciples right before he dies. And also he talks about us living in God's love, and it makes me think of when he mentions the vine and the branches. We live in the love of Christ, and we are connected to the love of God. And we are invited to then bear fruit, to share that love in the world. But we can only do that when we ourselves live in God's love. So as you go today and this week, continue your heart checkup. Just take a little bit of time every day, maybe when you get in the car, maybe when you're brushing your teeth. Just think about how your heart is doing. And remember that God cares about your heart. Know that God is faithful to you and that you can trust God with your heart. Try to soften it, knowing that a soft heart will make it easier for God's work and God's love to grow in you and through you. I want to leave you with these words. There's this website that I use to look up text called Bible Gateway. And as I was working on the sermon this week, this was the verse on their homepage for the day, like the daily Bible verse, and I thought it fit perfectly with my sermon. So I will share these words with you as you give your hearts back over to God's care. From Psalm 73. Who have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire other than you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen.